And now your speaker is Keith Young.
A few moments ago, Chris read from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. In the scripture, he read about the anointing of one of the great kings of all history. One of my favorite Bible characters in this man by the name of David. As a young boy, I used to read, and if you are one who loves to read about action and adventure, who loves to read about an individual who we would call a man of action, there is few who in all of recorded history can compete with this man David. He was one that showed great courage because of his great faith in God. As you read in these scriptures, we see that he is being selected as the second king of Israel. Only one of three that would be over the United Kingdom. It is such that Saul has lost favor with the Lord because of how he has not obeyed and done God's will. And so Samuel has been sent out to select another who would follow into God's eyes the path that God would set before him. And so it is that he comes to the house of Jesse, and Samuel no doubt remembered Saul. He remembered how that Saul stood head and shoulders above all others, how he was an imposing man, a man that could intimidate others, a man that as man saw others, stood out for his stature and for his being. And so as Samuel saw Jesse's sons, he kept thinking, and most likely comparing them to Saul, that this would be the one. But God did not look at the physical stature. Saul had been selected because the people wanted a king like all the other nations. God had warned them, that's not what you need. And so in this second selection, God goes after a man, as we'll find out later on, was a man after his own heart. And we see in his description, though he was fair to look upon, he was nothing like Saul. He was not a man of great stature the way that Saul was. In fact, as we will see later, and as many of us already know from studying about his conflict with Goliath, he was a man that would be mocked as a young boy, not one of great stature. And so tonight, I would like for us to look at the life of David. And I want us just to look at four short descriptions or epithets of David. And I want us to take them and see his example and then use them in our own lives to help us to understand more of what God desires of us and help us to understand how that we can be more as God wants us to be through the trials of success and the trials of failure of this man David, so that we can be those who are as more as God would want us to be. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18, we see this first epithet about King David. In verse 18, notice we are set told, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen the sons of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Notice first of all that description, he is a man of war. And this is how we are introduced to the epithet of David the warrior. And this is the man as a young boy that I wanted to read about and all his accomplishments and all that he was successful in. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 7, we notice here how successful David had been as this man of war when we are told here, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000. his reputation was huge. It was such that everybody knew about his ability as a military leader, as a military warrior. And they sung songs about him. Can you imagine being loved so much by the people that they sung songs about you and the might of your warrior ability? And as you see this, you understand that his warrior ability came from his faith in God, and that it was because of how he stood in that relationship that he was allowed to be such a mighty man of war. Consider his attitude of faith. Consider how he responded to others. And just a few examples of the faith that he had in God that propelled him into his ability to go before others and fight, because it was not just David that was there, but God was with him as well. Consider in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37. He has come before Saul. The whole nation of Israel is hiding. Their warriors have their tails between their legs. King Saul himself will not accept the challenge of this Philistine. And it is such that he has come out time and time again and challenged them. And finally the shepherd boy hears the challenge and he wants to battle him because of his faith in God. He understands who's with him and that that warrior has no chance. And so he goes to Saul and he pleads his case. And he says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Notice that. Notice the faith. He knew he was doing God's will. And so he went right to Saul and he said, "When I fought that bear, God provided. When I fought that lion, God provided. And now I am going to fight in the name of my Lord against this Philistine. And I know my God is going to be with me here as well." But not only does he say this to Saul, notice what he said to that Philistine, that man by the name of Goliath, that warrior who stood above all other warriors, 9 foot 9 inches tall, a war-tested, mighty man in his own rights, challenging the whole army of Israel. "Just bring out one." And no one would come save this young shepherd boy. And when he came, was he fearful? Was he one that in any way was intimidated by one who was of great reputation and feared by all the rest of his people? No. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" You know, you looked at all the weapons that Saul had, and David mentions them, and then he says to him, "You've come unarmed. You've come underarmed. You're not prepared. You have all those things that you're counting on, but I have something greater in my corner. I have the Almighty God. And so for everything you have, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Because I have the Lord on my side." And that little shepherd boy stood up to that great warrior. And then, with the Lord on his side, he backed up everything that he said. But for him being a great warrior, for him being such a mighty man of war that they sung praises about him, you know, God would have wished that he wouldn't have had to have all that blood on his hands. In fact, We know that because he had had blood on his hands, because he had been such a great warrior, that he was not allowed to build the house of God. God wanted a peacemaker for that job. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 3, "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." Had he done that which was needed? Yes. Had he served God faithfully? Yes. But yet still, God would have loved for him to have been a man of peace and never to have had to fight the way he did. What are some lessons that we can learn from David, the man of war? First of all, faith in God is able to overcome many adversaries. Look back at what David fought. As a shepherd, he fought a bear. He fought a lion. He fought the mightiest warrior of the Philistine nation. He went on to fight many others. In fact, as we said, the songs were sung about him that he had slain his tens of thousands. But he had never been alone. He had never fought those things by himself. He had never in one instance had to go and slay or do anything without the Almighty God right there beside him. Such was his faith. And we need to realize that when the monsters of this life come after us, when the great tribulations and trials of this life test our faith, that if we will stand with God, that we can overcome as well. But also, God desires peace more than war. We need to seek to be those who are of peace, of harmony. We don't need to seek conflict and try to cause trouble, but instead, God would like for us, if we possibly could, to live our lives in such a way that we bring about truth to mankind, bring about harmony to mankind, bring about salvation to them, not violence, not conflict, not trouble. And therefore, we must be centered in those ways of peace that Christ Himself taught, so that we can bring harmony and peace to others as well. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, we see our second epithet. In this one, we see a great description of this man, David, that gives to us our idea of how he loved to praise God. Notice here in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake..." Excuse me. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3. "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me." Well, I tell you, you'll have to excuse me. Verse 1. I keep wanting to go to verse 3. I'm getting older. My eyes aren't working so well. If it keeps on happening like that, Greg, you come up here and read the verses for me, okay? Verse 1. "Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, And the man who hath raised up on high the anointed of God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." Notice here, he is described as the sweet psalmist. In this, we are introduced to David the worshiper, David the praiser, David, the one who wanted to bring forth and adore and revere the name of the Almighty. As we know, most of the Psalms in the book of Psalms were written by this man, David. And it was such that he spent much of his time wanting to praise and glorify and exalt the name of the Lord on high. And just a few examples of that in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." You notice the mention of temple here. David had wanted to build a temple, and yet he was not allowed to build this temple. This was one of his great desires, and we see here how and why he wanted and desired it, because he wanted to be with God in His presence of His temple. He wanted to be able to praise God in His house. He wanted to be able to exalt Him and to give to Him the reverence that he should have. And he had no greater desire in his whole life than just to be able to praise God and exalt Him and worship Him. Consider Psalm 65 in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causeth to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in the courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. Blessed is the person that you allow to be with you, God. That you allow into your temple. That you allow to praise you. That you allow to exalt you. Notice here how he valued worship. Notice how worship meant something to him. In fact, it meant so much to him. He's writing songs to be sung in worship to God that revered God, just about the idea of how great worship would be. David saw nothing better in his life. He saw nothing that he could succeed in that could be greater than just revering and praising and blessing the name of the Lord. In fact, in Psalm 101, you'll notice that it was such an important thing to him that he said that if there's anything that would hinder me from it, I'm going to do away with it. I'm going to get rid of it. I don't want it around me if it can keep me from being able to praise you, God, and thank you for all that you have done. Notice here, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I have behaved myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within thy house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I might cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. What do we learn from David, the worshiper? First of all, worshiping is a blessing, not a chore. So many times I'm afraid that we don't understand what it is to be blessed to be in the presence of God when we gather together. That we don't understand that this is not us punching the clock and being those who have to come and worship God, but we should be thankful that the Creator of the universe listens to us and allows us to come in His presence and sing and praise Him. And what a blessing it is that He is here with us right now and that He wants us to be together to glorify and revere His name. And what an opportunity it is to be in the presence of God and to let Him know how much we love, how much we care for Him, how thankful we are for Him, and that we are blessed that He takes the time to do for us in our lives the way that He does. But also, God desires for His worshipers to be pure. Do you notice what David said? If they're about wickedness, I don't want any part of them. I'm going to cast them away from me. I'm going to get away from them because I don't want anything that can separate me and cause hindrance to me in what I want to do in my praise and adoration of God. In the chapter of James, chapter 3, we're told that we're supposed to be first pure, then peaceable. Purity is an essential part of the Christian life. We can't allow ourselves to be taken away from the purity of God because in that sin has occurred and separates us. And we're lost. David understood the seriousness of this. He understood, as John 4 and verse 24 tells us, that God is a spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And therefore, he wanted to make sure that his relationship was with God as it should be. And if there was anything that could hinder it, if there was anything that could stop it, if there was anything that getting away, he's going to make sure it didn't stay there. That's a great example for us. Let us not flirt with sin. Let us not allow things to stay around us that can cause us to lose our souls. Because that is a losing battle that doesn't have to be fought. Third, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 7, we read about one of the lowest points of the life of this man, David. We read here about how that he has come to the conclusion that there is an individual that has taken the sheep of another. And that sheep, it was like a family member, and Nathan the prophet has come to him and he's told him about this, and David is ready to bring about the death of this man because he stole this precious sheep from another when he had all these other sheep of his own that he could have chose from. And then you look at 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7, and some of the most pointed and just straight to the heart words that could ever be made are given by Nathan here when we're told. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." In chapter 11, we see where David had looked upon the wife of another. He had lusted after her. He had committed adultery with her. And then to cover it up, he had caused the death of her husband. But you know, God saw the whole thing. He might have thought he could fool everybody else. He thought he might make it all right in his own eyes in front of everybody else. But God knew the whole thing and he sent his messenger, Nathan. And Nathan comes before him. He tells him about this sheep. And he's ready to bring death upon the man who would do such a thing. And then as soon as he's ready, breathing out these condemnations of that man, it is such that Nathan says, "Thou art the man." And with that epithet, we're introduced to David the sinner. David the man who had defied God. David, who was just like so many of us. Maybe it's not the same type of sin that affects us, but we're human just like David was. And we understand what it is to be tempted and tried. We understand the pain that comes when we're separated from God and we realize that we have nobody to blame but ourselves. In Psalm 51, David writes about what has happened. He writes about his own sin. And in that he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord." Because he realized, as we all must, that though our sins affect so many others, at its core, it affects God the most. Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God." And as we see David in this terrible situation, and if you read Psalm 51, you can hear his heart wrenching. You can feel the pain that he's going through because he understands what he's done to God. Because he understands how his sin has violated his relationship to God. And he understands all that he has done in that, how this has hurt God, that we relate and understand how our sins affect our relationship to the Lord as well. And we learn from this that there is nobody so big or important that they can't be touched by sin. In the name of the Lord, David had killed his 10,000s. In the name of the Lord, he had become the second king of Israel. In the name of the Lord, he had stood against Goliath and won a great victory for the Lord. But for all his accomplishments, he could sin just as well as any of us. And we need to realize in our own lives what sin does to us. And that just like it affects David, it can affect us as well. And that just like David, when sin enters in our life, there's something wrong there and we need to do something about it. And just like David, God's there for us, and if we'll repent, God will bring back His relationship with us. If we obey the Bible, if we've never become a Christian, then we got to become a Christian. If we're a Christian, then if we'll repent and get out of those things that have separated us from God, He'll restore us back into that relationship that we can have with Him as well. But He'll never accept us as a sinner who will not leave the sin, no matter who we are. David, as great a man as he was, he still had to get out of his sin as well. He still was not above getting away from the sin that had separated him from God. And fourth and finally, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. Here Saul has violated God's will. God is telling Samuel, I'm taking the kingdom away from Saul. And you see a great description given, a great epitaph of this man, David, without ever mentioning his name, because it tells us about who the next king's going to be. It tells us about who God has planned for this role. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and in verse 14, notice what God tells Samuel here. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Notice here, Samuel, speaking for God, is speaking to Saul and tells him, you've lost the kingdom. You've lost the kingdom because of your actions, because of your sinfulness, because you have not done what God has commanded you to do. And now God has found, as we see here, a man after God's own heart. God already knew David was going to be king. God had already selected David, though he had not been anointed yet. And so now, in this epitaph, we are introduced to David the saint. This is the David I love. This is the David who I see as the great example that we should all emulate. This is the David that if we could have this description given to us on the day of judgment, where the Lord said that we have followed after His heart and done His will, that there could be nothing greater said about any of us. In fact, of any man outside of Jesus Christ, has there ever been a description better given to man than the one that is given to David here? And this is the one that is most often remembered when we describe this man David. He was called a man after God's own heart because of his faith, his faithfulness, his devotion, his contrition. It is such that as we look at all these wonderful things about this man, we understand that God wants us to have this kind of attitude as well. He wants us to seek to have these attributes in our own lives. He wants us to be a man after His own heart who is seeking to follow Him in every way that allows us to have that home of heaven and the great promises presented to us. Consider just a few verses. In Isaiah 57 and verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Again, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. And rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. In Psalm 14 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. What could be better said about any of us than for God to look upon us and say, this is a person after my own heart? Is this a go in our lives? Are we seeking to be the very best servants of God that we can possibly be? What greater go could there be? What greater thing could we seek to obtain than to be the very best we can in His service? David provides for us a great and valuable example of a relationship that God desires for every man to have. A relationship that if we'll seek to build will allow us to be the type of spiritual beings that God wants us to be. That will help us to achieve the type of spiritual relationship that God wants us to have. That will help us to be ready for that judgment day and to be able to stand before God as one that is ready for the judgment that is to come. So let us remember David, that man of war, who overcame through his faith, who stood with God and God stood with him, and whatever he had to face, that adversary had no chance because God was with him. Let us consider the sweet singer of Israel, that psalmist, who looked for opportunity to praise God, who understood what a blessing worship is and what an opportunity that it is, and he sought to be able to glorify and revere the name of the Almighty. Let's remember that he was a man, and that once he heard those striking words, "Thou art the man," and he was a sinner who had violated God's will and had done a terrible, terrible thing that could not be hid from the Lord. But he didn't stay in a relationship that was separated from God by sin. He did something about it. And then let us also remember that man after God's own heart. That one who sought the will of God above all things. And that's why his faith was so great. That's why he was able to overcome all those adversaries. That's why he was able to do the things that he did. Because in all things, it was the Almighty God that was his captain, that was his director, that was guiding his steps. How are you in your relationship with God tonight? If God were to describe you, would He describe you and your relationship to Him in such a way that it would be one after His own heart? Would He describe you as one seeking and doing your best to have that kind of relationship? Or would He describe you as one that is separated by sin, that is lost to Him by the choices that you're making? If that's the case, it doesn't have to stay that way. God's Son died on the cross not only to bring salvation to those who have never obeyed before and allowing them to become Christians by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, but He also gives us the ability to be able to, when we fall short, when we falter, to be able to repent of those sins and be restored into that right relationship, because He understands that just like David, we make mistakes. That we do things that we later regret. And that we do things that we understand that we should never have done. And that we need an opportunity to get back the way the Lord wants us to be. And so tonight, this is your opportunity to correct anything in your life that would separate you from Him for eternity.